Yeah, it's got four.
All right. We skipped a week, maybe 2 weeks, but it's time to get back into the tipping. All right, guys. Quick pod today. How are we feeling about football in general?
Football's crazy at the moment. I've got no reads.
Nobody
I feel like we've
knows
officially
football.
We've officially launched into that next era of football. Like Collingwood winning the premiership last year was the end of an era. Anything that made sense prior to that for like the last 5 years, this team's good, that person's good at footy, etc., gone. Restart, refresh, everything's new again.
Yeah, I think I've come to the conclusion that nobody knows football. It's tipping's an absolute waste of time because it's mostly a 50-50 guess. And
that's been true forever, though.
And until I start doing better with my tips, I will not be told otherwise. We'll start off with a quick recap of the tipping ladder. So starting from the solid foundation of the bottom, which is myself on 16. We've then got Connor on 16. We've then got Tilly on 16. We've got Anna on 17, Claire on 17, Stephanie on 17, Gordo on 17, Elise on 17, Braden on 19, never in doubt, and the reigning gremlin, James, on 21. But, you know, we're just regressing to the means. I think if we listen to the podcast that we started last year, this was very close, bar the new people coming in.
How? It's the exact same trajectory as last year.
Yeah.
You and I hit the bottom very quickly.
Yeah, we're sinkers. We don't float. So how do we want to tackle this? Do we want to tackle the lightning first? Do we want to tackle the drugs gate? Do we want to just go straight into tipping? What are we feeling?
Let's tackle the lightning.
And
then
double in some drugs,
and then we'll go into the tipping at the end.
Right. Las Vegas.
Oh, in Las Vegas too, yeah.
Yep.
So compared to Brisbane, the Gabba, light out gate, lightning gate, how does that sit? Above?
Well, you were there, so what was the vibe?
I didn't go.
You didn't go?
No, I didn't go.
I just presume because, you know, being Geelong faithful, MCG, you're living in the inner north in Brunswick East, a short walk from the hallowed stadium.
Head to that MCC bar.
Yeah, head to the MCC bar, pop a collar, maybe two, depending on how many lays you need on a very stormy day.
Oh, I definitely got back from Easter camping the night beforehand and was just looked out at the weather and put my fair weather supporter hat on and was like, I'm going to watch this at home and continue on my Easter arts and crafts project, which is hand-stitching a football. So I did that instead.
Yeah.
I've got three panels stitched together and I'm about to tackle...
the sack.
Putting the bladder in.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the sack. Yeah.
Another tackle the sack.
Another name for the podcast that we're not going to use.
Yeah, tackle the sack. Yeah, bounce, from the makers of Bounce That Pill comes tackle the sack.
Yeah. Well, actually... If we're talking about Lightning Gate and we're talking about tackling
sacks
like a sack, somebody who went down like a sack of potatoes was Jack Ginnivan, and he deserved not getting those free kicks.
Now, I understand that. I fully agree with you there. Does he deserve all the hate he got, though? Because he is giving me sad boy vibes. He could give Post Malone a run with like a sad boy album. He released, I think, in a press conference or something, he said that he's still recovering from the fact that when he found out that Collingwood didn't want him anymore and was going to trade him to Hawthorn, that no one from Collingwood talked to him. Apparently not a single person like contacted, said like, thanks for like your time here, mate, or like,
really?
You know, good luck in your future. No one, not a teammate, not an assistant coach, not even Fly McRae here said like, Collingwood's dead to me now.
Was there like underlying bad blood from when he went to the races the day before?
I think definitely there was underlying bad blood of him being not very professional, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. He seems like he's... I thought the narrative was different. I thought it was he wanted to go as soon as he wasn't wanted at Collingwood, then he was like, well, I'll look elsewhere. And him being a boyhood supporter of the Hawks was like, I'll go to the Hawks. So that's interesting. But on the tackling, the amount of he definitely, you know, didn't drop his shoulder, didn't drop into the tackles.
Yeah.
He did one of the two movements. He dropped the shoulder to get the high eye head contact, but he didn't drop his knees. So I reckon we're seeing an evolution of the what was Joel Selwood, now Jack Ginnivan.
You can't use those two players in the same sentence.
But also Joel Selwood literally said, commentating like 2 or 3 weeks ago, he made some comment. They were talking about the drop down with the shoulder, and he made this comment like, oh, I made a career out of that. Like, he fully admitted that's what he's been doing.
100%. But also I think there's a bit of a grade difference between, you know, future Hall of Famer, you know, multiple premiership captain Joel Selwood and, you know, number 33 in the list, Jack Ginnivan.
He's still flighty. Like, he's sporadically good.
Yeah.
One redeeming feature for Jack Ginnivan, though, is he is a strong long sleeves jersey wearer.
Which is lucky that now he lives in the Mitchell era of Hawks and not the Clarko era of Hawks. So.
Yeah. So moving on to the drug scandal.
Yes.
Are we now going to assume that pretty much every person out with hamstring illness has just been out the night before?
Well, okay.
Because I am.
Let's have some real talk here.
Hang on a second. I'll be back. I've just got some hamstring tightness.
Yes. Do we care?
I don't care. About Brisbane and Vegas.
No. Just drugs in general. Like, footballers taking drugs.
No, they've been doing it for decades.
It's what, like,
WADA would disagree with that.
But this is the part where, like, so this is where the really sad element of this is that the AFL came out and they were honest and they said, this is the program we have in place and it's there to help people that need the help. And everyone else either takes it, doesn't take it, whatever. They're just being young, rich humans. And like, but those who need help are in this program and they follow this program to avoid having things get out of hand. And all of footy fandom's response was, oh, we can't handle this. When really you'd hope it'd be like, oh, that checks out. Like, you know, people that need help get help and people, no one's exploiting the system is basically what I'm trying to say. But everyone thinks they are because we're not mature enough as a sports community to be like, well, yeah, like, you know, drug problems exist in the real world. Of course they exist in the sports world as well.
Yeah.
Even more so because they have access to money.
Yeah.
For me, I think what it boils down to is the way that it's been released into the public. So it hasn't been the AFL saying, hey, this is the program and we're happy to support it. It's been a scandalous, you know, report in Parliament and then the general public feels lied to. But yeah, I think it's more of a comms issue, not necessarily a health issue. But what it does mean for me from now on is that even if somebody has a legitimate like injury that is like hamstring tightness or, you know, the ones that are like, oh, 1 to 2 weeks, we're just managing them. Yeah. And if they're a young player, I reckon lots of people are going to be like, oh, yeah, they've been on the drugs, they've been on out the night before.
Or
culture problems.
Do you think that this will just be like, that was last week's story, in 3 weeks' time we'll be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Drugs were a thing for a week.
No, because I think it's salacious, it's tasty. People are like, oh, you know, so that every week we have lists going up and we have ins and outs and it just means it's set up for the whole year of people going, well, are they injured or are they not injured? And I reckon, you know, we have people like Kane Corns in the media being like, I 100% think that Jack Ginnivan is ducking his head because he hasn't had enough cocaine, manage him, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think like, was it incumbent on the AFL to come out proactively and say, we have this program that we run, when something like substance abuse or drug addiction is so heavily stigmatized? So if they came out and said, we have this program for players, I can immediately imagine the backlash of being like, well, why are you not taking them off the list? Why are they allowed to have drugs?
Why are they in jail? Drugs are illegal.
And we've
seen that through
Shout out to Keep Our City Alive campaign. Yeah. We've seen how stigmatizing addiction is. So if there was people with significant issues in that regard, the AFL probably can't come out and talk about it because it's not.
Yeah.
I
disagree. I think the AFL should be, we have a policy and this is it. We don't need to release numbers. We don't need to release names because it's all under medical practice. But I think as part of like the AFL growing up as a sport, I don't think that they need to hide away.
But the weird part was, so this policy came out in 2005. It hasn't really changed since 2005 when West Coast was having their big issues because they had 19 people fail yeah. illicit like drugs. The Ben Cousins, Daniel Kerr, that era. And they changed it to this policy so that if you did have addiction issues, you could self-admit to the program and make sure that you're not failing WADA's game day protocols, basically. And it's been the same for like 15 years.
Yeah.
I don't know why all of a sudden one angry ex-Melbourne doctor and one angry ex-Melbourne president suddenly leak it to a parliamentarian because you're privileged under parliamentary privilege, so you can't get sued for defamation for getting stuff wrong, which he did, because it's not hundreds of people on the list and they're not going there on a secret cloak of darkness and whatever. But they say that, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, drugs are real. And it's like, oh, come on, people.
Yeah.
We're better than this.
It was a weird tactic to go through a parliamentarian.
Yeah. I think it's just because it's come out so late after the policy's been introduced. Mm. It's a bit of a
It was a late a in shock. In terms of football violence.
Well.
Vegas?
Can we pivot to
Vegas.
Vegas, but I also want to pivot to the Tom Hawkins phone debacle.
Yes.
Have they confirmed why he had his phone?
Surely just go on Instagram.
No, it was not his phone. It was
of course.
The phone of one of the staff members of Geelong. So they had that extended break with the Lightning.
Yeah.
And then you can have staff members who are allowed to have phone access for like media posting, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It was that guy's phone, and for whatever reason,
Tomahawk needed to check the weather,
The guy gave him the phone, which might have been like, check this, your 350th game post. The metrics are doing well,
but of course,
that kind of thing.
Love
is,
it. The metrics are doing well.
I don't know.
I know you've got a busy game to focus on here, mate, but the metrics are doing well on your post. Yeah. So either way, we're all winners today.
Yeah, Tomahawk content going through the roof.
Yeah,
but either way, it's illegal. It's been illegal for such a long time for a player to have a phone in their hand in the change rooms.
And like he's played 350 games.
It's now been tainted by the fact that he's, for all the things he could have been doing on the phone, we don't know why. Yeah.
He could have also just been using the backwards facing camera to check that his hair's all good because it's all wet. You know, we are not Geelong staffers, so we will never know.
What he could be doing is he could be texting other players' partners and destroying lives like the Brisbane Football Club.
Segue into Brisbane.
I feel this is your domain. Introduce us to the Vegas salation.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't even know that much about it, apart from that text message you showed me, but that's probably not even true. So we've got Brisbane players letting off some steam in Vegas. Something's happened.
Yeah.
A partner, we think it's Lachie Neal's partner, back in Melbourne, has gone onto her shared cloud account with Neal, and he's stupidly uploaded something from the trip and a boys' chat where footage of whatever's transpired.
Activities,
we'll say that. Nefarious activities.
Nefarious.
Activities will get you 1 to 2 weeks on the sideline with a hamstring illness.
Yes. Extracurricular activities.
And she's decided to share that with the other partners who are not on the Las Vegas trip. And it's apparently, according to some very, very good journos, it's imploded the team, which is why they're having their awful start to the season. 0-4?
Yeah, 0-3, the bye as well. But they obviously lost the bye as well because of this. Zero and four.
So that's all I know.
Do you like these type of stories as a footy fan? Are you like, feed me the reality TV drama?
I don't, purely for the partners. Because something like this, they all go to Brownlow events. They're very publicly known who they're dating.
Yeah.
So all these women, all these women are now subjected to a lot of I'm not sure what the right word is. Just having their names now thrown around in these situations. To have a cheating scandal so public, I think is quite disgusting.
And that's what I find so weird. It's like, game day is played on the weekend and then you've got like all this, all of last week was filled up with like all this stuff that footballers do when they're not being footballers. And yeah, I know they get privileged and they get paid, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to kick a footy and they should be, held to an account to some level. But also, if you're kicking the footy well on the weekend and you're not breaking the law, I kind of don't care after that.
Yeah.
Like, just do what you want. People cheat on each other. People take drugs. You're just a person. I don't really care. Just kick the footy good. And if you're kicking the footy bad, you'll be delisted and we'll forget about you anyway. So,
but it's such a good trigger point in the media. Like, we saw it with Damien Hardwick, the, Gold Coast drama with him cheating on his wife. The media loved it.
Yeah.
They love a cheating scandal in sport.
Well,
a unison shrug.
As we gather our thoughts, we'll gather all the clubs. We'll chuck them over to Adelaide.
Yeah,
and we'll gather
nothing
our tips.
Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen in Adelaide when all the players are together. And
mate, nothing ever happens. Nothing ever happens in Adelaide. So,
yeah, well, exactly right. You know what does happen? Marriages get destroyed, mate.
But actually, just on that before we move on, cheating scandals are nothing new to AFL. Like, they sort of blow up. They stick around. Like, for me, the ones that come to mind, Wayne Carey, obviously, probably the biggest one. But also, Gary Rowan did the same thing. And I think it's just part of, you know, society. Like, this kind of stuff happens.
I thought you were about to say, it's just part of footy, mate. No. It's just the circles of football. You go in there.
No, it's part of society. Like, this happens in society.
And Vegas.
Yeah. So in society, drugs happen. In society, cheating scandals happen. It's just, I think it's one of the issues.
Who doesn't have a sexual lens. Intercourse interaction by the age of 25 in their workplace? You know, right? Exactly. So.
All right. Well,
we are. Felt so uncomfortable in this office.
Well and truly moving on from that, we are going to the Gather Round Tips up in Adelaide. The first game is a Thursday game, so we've really only had two days of non-football before we jump straight
just
back
lucky,
into that.
Just lucky, because they're going to run out of stories by then.
Yeah. They'll have to start making things up. We've got Adelaide versus Melbourne. It's a 7:40 and it's a 74% tipping margin towards Melbourne over Adelaide. How do we feel about Adelaide potentially losing one of their biggest games of the year in Adelaide at Gather Round to the basket case of Melbourne?
Well, I think the basket case has been rewoven, hasn't it?
Yeah, but don't they have outs? Like Lever's not back. May, I think, was injured still. I think Petrarca...
The track is back.
Yeah, the track is back. Clayton Oliver's now happy.
Yep.
Do we know if, the internal machinations of Melbourne are doing well? Or?
Well, our inside source says everything's tickety-boo and the lads are smiling. So.
Well, okay, then I'm tipping Melbourne.
Well, they beat Port last week in Adelaide, and Port is better than Adelaide, so they should win twice, you'd think.
Yeah, and also I think Adelaide are a bit overhyped.
Well, I think the hype is gone now. The era of hype ended and now it's the era of reality, and the reality is they're young but they're not that good.
Yeah, do you reckon they should stop playing Tex? I reckon this is the Tex Walker do or die.
This game
at
kick
home.
Six or
it's a
bugger
big game.
Off.
It's a big game at home. You're old. We've got some younger kids like Fogarty coming through.
I love how he's younger than everyone in this room probably. probably not silly.
No, he's like...
Excuse me.
He's like 32.
No, I thought he's like 34 or 35.
Nah, I think he's not that old.
Just his age terribly.
Just his age terribly. Yeah. And he's a racist.
He's had bad injuries as well.
Okay. Well, Melbourne for me, I've talked myself into that one. Gordo, do you Melbourne. Have a theme for your tipping?
Theme is just gut feel this week because we've got 4 minutes. So
all right.
Speed. Speed is the theme. Speed is the theme.
Speed. Great. Melbourne for me. Tilly?
Melbourne.
All right, moving on to the next game. It is on Friday. It is Brisbane Lions versus North Melbourne.
Norwood Oval. How much does Brisbane suck cup?
Yeah.
Because if they properly suck, they lose to North.
Can we also appreciate it's 14th versus 16th, which should be very even, but the betting odds are $1 to $6.
Yeah. Everyone thinks that Brisbane just have to win this because North suck, but how much does it – how much do unhappy players –
I would love
for
North to win this after the scandals of this week.
I reckon this would be a good roughie to go. If you can't find a tip to get ahead on,
a point of difference.
This would be the one that I'd be looking at.
This is definitely one that you would try and convince everyone in the tipping comp to pick because they're definitely not going to lose. But if you could convince all the listeners who are in this comp to pick North because Brisbane is that upset.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the partners are upset. And so now the partners are upset and – was it the CEO came out and was like, yeah, look, some of our good players aren't playing well and then the rest are just themselves. That's why we're shit. it's
no,
the
those
weirdest.
Not good players are just not very good. So, yeah.
It was a weird announcement from the club of why they weren't performing after the grand final.
Mm.
But no, Brisbane, for me, that may turn into a late North pick. I do have a few North players stacked in my super coach team, so I have a little bit of reason to want North to go well, but... yeah, Brisbane need to win. Backs against the wall is Brisbane for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might go Brizzy.
Brizzy. Just has to be.
The next game's really interesting.
Yeah, Port v Essendon.
Can I just say, though, on the weekend, St Kilda lost that game. Essendon didn't win it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you need to tell yourself to go to sleep at night.
I'm just saying the reason I'm going to back Port here because I don't think Essendon can beat Port. I think St Kilda had so many chances to put the game away and mm-hmm. we lost the game. It was our game to lose and we completely lost it and Essendon had opportunities to come in.
Yeah.
So I don't think Essendon won that game because of how good they are. I think St Kilda completely fucked it.
Yeah.
And we had an appalling game.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this will be we find – because Essendon aren't bad. They're top of middle.
No, Essendon are bad.
Essendon aren't bad for me. They're top of middle. And, again, I refer to the start of the podcast where I said I know nothing about football, so take that with a grain of salt. But I reckon this is where we find out what Port Adelaide are made from.
And with.
But, yeah, I reckon they need to put Essendon to the sword at home. Moving on to the next game in the Adelaide Hills, it is the West Coast Eagles versus Sydney Swans. Like a piece of wet toast, the West Coast Eagles are going to get thrown well and truly in the bin.
Yeah, Sydney by 7,000 points.
Yeah. If you're super coaching.
They did just lose to Richmond, but it's West Coast, so yeah, Sydney.
Yeah. If you are super coaching captain, vice captain, anyone you have in Sydney.
Yeah, Brody Groning to have 4,000 points.
Yeah.
All right, my friends, I'm going to have to duck out.
All right.
No worries.
We'll pick Fratelli and she'll be forced to take all his tips. So happy days.
Yep. Next game, the Adelaide Oval, Carlton versus Frio. This will be an interesting game. I think this is the most interesting game of the round. I think Carlton are going to be top four material for me. Mm-hmm. But Frio are on an improvement year and I reckon their tails are up. So I reckon they could see this as a real, you know, let's show them what we're made of kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And so for me, I still reckon Carlton. But I think Kerno and Mackay are going to have a much harder time than they did last week of just absolutely bagging snags.
Yeah, I reckon this is your point of difference. This is your earnestly the big upset of here, especially 25% to 75% tipping differential. Frio is your upset pick. Yeah, 420 Adelaide Oval. How many Carlton fans do you reckon will go to Adelaide? Probably heaps because they're all like the lids off and whatever.
Yeah, it's the Blues Brothers and Sisters.
True. I forgot about the super fans, the Blues Brothers. Woohoo!
Yeah,
in your little printed polyester t-shirts, legends of the game.
Yeah.
Freo for mine. I'm big on Freo. I've been big on Freo for the last 4 years. This might be the year where it comes to fruition. I get to say that I liked them before they were cool, like the Cat Empire or something.
I like Freo. I don't like them enough to tip Carlton, but I like them. And I assume Tilly's just going to tip Freo.
She'll tip Freo because she likes the point of difference too.
Yeah.
So good luck with that, Tilly. Me and you riding the Freo tip.
Next game at the Adelaide Oval, again, the double header, Western Bulldogs versus Geelong. I reckon this is a safe Geelong win. Geelong tend to match up well against the Dogs.
A safe Geelong win. So where's Geelong at now? Because last year it was the retirement tour.
This is the young pretenders team. I think we have enough oldies and structure from the premiership to sort of hold us in good stead. But the young kids are still learning. There's some skill errors. What they make up for in skill errors, they make up for in people wanting to prove themselves, like Jai Clark, Ollie Dempsey, all these young kids. I reckon, Geelong is the young pretenders at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to see them win. So.
See, because the Dog is a chronically overrated fleet, like, all the time. Like, 2016 onwards, chronically overrated. Everyone just waiting for them to win something again. And it just won't happen because
they've got Bevo at the helm.
Bevo's he's too thick in their neck and not thick enough in the brain to be a good coach. But who are you tipping out of the Doggies and Geelong at? You're back in the room, Tilly.
Yeah, sorry, meeting got cancelled. Doggies and Geelong.
Doggies and Geelong. They're playing at Adelaide Oval. It's a doubleheader, the second of which that evening, so 8:10. Fresh off the Frio Carlton game where you tipped Frio. Congratulations.
Did I?
Yeah.
It was a bold tip.
Yeah.
I'm going to start making bulk tips just to try and make leg weight. I'm going to go Geelong.
Yeah,
Geelong's looking good.
Geelong's giving the illusion of looking good.
Yeah, I'm going the Dogs because you said, like, you got the best read. It's the illusion of goodness.
Did the Dogs win on the weekend?
The Doggos.
Yeah, they had North.
They're undefeated against the bye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who have they beat?
They beat West Coast by 76 points last week, and then they beat Gold Coast by 48 points at Mars, and they lost to Melbourne by 45 points in round one.
Oh, okay. So I'm definitely going Geelong.
Yeah. So they beat no one.
They haven't beat like
yeah.
They beat no one. Teams. But they're ready for a win. That's all I'm saying. Geelong almost lost to St Kilda. St Kilda lost to Essendon.
St Kilda aren't bad though, and Essendon aren't bad.
Well, they are this week.
They were bad on the weekend. They were very bad.
So,
I think it's the Max King curse. There's something about him not playing with us that just throws the whole team out.
Nah, I think.
Also, his suspension was bullshit, by the way.
I think we'll get to this when we get to St Kilda, but I reckon it's the roster boss, running game that St Kilda are just getting their fitness up. It's the start of the season. Anyway, that's not this game. The game that we're actually talking about is.
So you're backing your Cats.
I'm backing my Cats.
I am backing the Dogs.
Yeah, if
hungry dogs run faster, and they'll be hungry for a proper win.
It's a cat and dog fight.
Cat and dog fight. Yeah.
You were saying before, Gordo, that the Carlton Frio was your point of difference tip.
Yeah.
This is probably my point of difference tip. Apart from
the fact that you're tipping the non-difference.
Oh, if I wanted. No. If I had both eyes open with this one, this would be my point of difference.
You're a cat person, but if you were a dog person, you'd tip the Dogs.
Which is weird because I am in real life a dog person, not a cat person.
Yeah. So watch out for whatever you actually.
Listeners at home, if you could just untangle that mess, that'd be fantastic. Maybe like a ball of yarn, that'd be great.
Who did you guys say for Frio, Carlton?
We said Frio, and we gave you Frio as well.
Well,
I was going to say Frio.
There we go.
I said Carlton. Anyway. Back at Adelaide, in the Adelaide Hills, amongst wine country, we have the 12:30 Sunday noon game, the Gather Round Classic, Gold Coast Suns versus the GWS Giants.
The latecomers to the league.
Yeah. Mm. The soon-to-be not-as-new toys that the AFL has once Tassie gets in.
Mm.
I have... I think it's, for me, the Suns are going to show well. You're going to have, Raoul, Anderson, Tuke Miller. I reckon they're going to do really well out of the mid, but then they just fall apart elsewhere.
Mm.
And the Giants are just looking toasty fresh. They are the opposite of wet toast Eagles. They are the crispy, burnt, structurally solid GWS Giants. They're the perfect piece of toast, and the wet toast Eagles are
but
the
worst. You know what?
Piece of toast burnt?
Singed.
Perfect. It is like crispy golden brown. Oh, there's a little layer of
now. You know what? Now you know what's wrong with a perfect piece of toast. It's when that toast goes cold. It goes super duper hard, and they're coming off the bye, so they were perfect crispy warm toast, smashing teams, getting lathered in butter. But now the butter has melted into the toast. The toast is gone cold, crispy, and fragile, and they're ready to be thrown in the bin.
And what do you do with cold toast? You're warming up, and what warms things up really well?
The Suns.
The Sun. So I reckon the Suns is going to be the perfect warm-up game to get the perfect piece of toast
back to perfect toast temperature.
Yep.
Back to the Bain-Marie.
Yep. So
is this our theme for the week, toast? How well does your team stack up to toast?
Yeah.
So perfect piece of toast. I'm tipping the Giants.
Done. All right. I'm tipping the Giants too. Before we move off this game and go to Tilly's tip, Adelaide Hills and Gather Round. Are we fans? We were semi-fans of week zero or opening round. Do we like Gather Round? Should it rotate around the country? Is Adelaide a cool place? Would you ever go watch a game out in the wine country of the Adelaide Hills?
I like it. I like Gather Round as a concept. I like it staying in Adelaide because I think a lot of the expansion regions around Australia get more attention than Adelaide. Adelaide sort of, came in early, and now they're just sort of considered, Victoria's, friend. And they're just always assumed. Like, it's not just Vic bias. You could include, you know, Vic SA bias in that.
South Coast bias.
Yeah, I reckon they need their point of difference. I'm going to call it the SA teams are the middle children of the AFL. They don't get the love, and they need the love. And I like it. And wine country's great, footy's great. Put those two things together and you've got yourself the perfect condiment to put on a nice piece of toast.
Bit of chutney.
Chutney if you want savoury, maybe some fig jam, strawberry jam, whatever kind of jam you like. But, I reckon it's good.
I think it should rotate. I think maybe a couple of years at one spot and then it has to move somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit bizarre having it solely in Adelaide.
Who would you give it to?
In terms of purely from like a tourism perspective.
Gather around in NT, see you in the NT for a weekend of footy.
Yeah, I like that.
Gather around in far north Queensland. We can go up to Townsville. I've heard that's a pretty cool place to watch some sport.
But why does it have to be we move? Why does it have to be we take gather round off Adelaide and give it to someone else? Why
you want more gatherings?
I was thinking, if you
gather around the festival and we do like a festival circuit.
Gather around, but then gather round again.
Yeah. And again.
And again. And maybe you could, Adelaide could be wine country. The NT could be hot country.
Yeah.
Hot toast. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Surfing out west.
Yep. And then come and have a look at our fresh produce down in Adelaide. Not Adelaide, in Tassie when they get their stadium and we just play every single game at the new Tassie stadium.
Just to pay it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you tipping, Tilly? Suns or Giants?
Giants.
All right.
I'm scared of them this year. I reckon they could go all the way.
Yeah. And their social media teams fucking bang on.
Oh, yeah. When Sydney and GWS both beat Collingwood, the stuff they did with St Kilda's social media team about you must keep going, pass on the the battalion, that was great.
Still on Sunday, second last game, talking about Tilly's Saints and James's Richmond. I think St Kilda are going to win this. They've had their week where Ross's running plan they've just run out of gas, and that's why they gave up last week. And I reckon they're a bit of a longer break. Was it Saturday to Sunday? So 6 days. I reckon they recover well. And Richmond, having been the sort of creators of chaos ball or just hack it forward, I reckon St Kilda are going to do it better.
If you watched both games on the weekend, though, Richmond looked pretty good against the Swans.
They did look really good.
They looked back to their chaotic best. And to use more cat and dog analogies, there's nothing scarier than a sleeping tiger that's just been awoken. And the Swans came, they pecked him on the head a couple of times, they woke the tiger, and now the tiger's looking pretty perfect. The only problem about the Tigers is obviously the wounded tiger, and that is they're missing Lynch and Bolter and
they've got a huge bunch of other
players. Baker's out as well, so they're missing all their players. Yeah. So what I'm saying is if St Kilda did lose this game, Tilly might not talk football ever again. Because this is the game that St Kilda should 100% win.
Yeah.
There's no excuses for St Kilda to lose this game.
Correct.
And we've got good players coming back as well.
Yeah, same.
And for me, just carrying on your analogy, if you're going to wake a sleeping tiger, I want to be the quick runner who's waking up the three-legged tiger who's injured to run away from.
Mm.
What's interesting about this game as well is Richmond won their premierships from being that really fast, quick handball team. And St Kilda is now taking over the league in that, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not the handball, and we still can't land a bloody handball. But we're fast. I think we're one of the fastest, if not the fastest team in the league at the moment, individually our players.
Mm.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, being the Saints, they were just, you know, religiously obliged to take the week off last week.
Yeah. Actually, funny thing that I saw.
So they paid respects to the Easter tradition.
That makes me feel so
And now they can come back and just play footy again.
Or, yeah. I like that. But I also saw
they can resurrect.
Yeah, their season.
I also saw on the weekend that Eric Banner was asked when's St Kilda's next premiership going to be?
Mm.
And he came out and said, we'll have two premiership wins by 2026.
Oh, this was start of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just maybe it's the Banner curse. So you're going to look good. And then you just maybe you fall over, maybe you lose to a wounded tiger.
Oh, I think when we lost Liam Henry, that took a lot of...
Liam Hemsworth? Yeah.
When he became... When he stopped being innocent, killed a supporter, and went back to Richmond.
Yeah.
No, when Liam Henry got injured, that was a big blow, I think, to the excitement around St Kilda, because he was part of that.
Also, to circle back to what was Tom Hawkins doing on his phone, he was actually comparing his biceps to the biceps of Chris Hemsworth, who watches all the Bulldogs games without his top on for some reason.
Yeah, got to do it for the gram.
I mean, that's fair enough. I looked like him. I'd be shirtless every day.
True. Last game.
Last game.
The Ginnivan Cup.
The Ginnivan Cup. Oh,
it gets Collingwood.
So before we get on to tipping, how many high tackles is he going to
get? He won't have a head. He will not have a head by the end of it, and there will not be a single one.
We've seen how Collingwood treats ex-players with Ollie Henry. Yeah. They had that first game with Geelong. That got really heated.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my next one, is how many boos are we going to get?
Oh, booed constantly. Yeah.
Which I reckon when he goes near the ball, not even when he touches it.
I reckon that even be, how petty do we think they're going to be, though? Because will Collingwood not wear sleeves? Not a single player in sleeves, regardless of how cold it is, because Ginnivan wears sleeves. And we just go, now we've moved on so much, mate, we don't even wear sleeves anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
that
sounds like Clarko from the Snowgate up at Manuka Oval, where he was like, nah, we're going to go out and train in shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it, but I think he's going to get booed. I think he's going to have.
I actually fear for his mental.
He's going to get decapitated, he's going to get booed. He's going to get threatened by pythons.
His sad boy era is going to drastically
And have to release an emo pop punk album next week called Crying My Ginnivans. I don't know.
He's going to pull like a Travis Butler in the NBA where he rocked up to the NBA front, like photo emo, day emo with like, fringe. The emo hair.
See, I reckon this and this is...
Shoestring, headband as well, emo fringe, bleeding mascara.
This is the roughie I'm tempted to pick is Hawthorn. Yeah. Well... I do not believe in Collingwood. Collingwood have
They are a figment of your imagination.
Collingwood have been my bogey team this year. Whenever I tip them, they lose, and whenever I don't tip them, they win.
So you are not tipping them.
So I'm tempted to tip them so that they lose.
Ah, okay. I'd prefer it then if you didn't tip them, so that I can tip them and then they win.
So I'm going to keep my tip for this game a secret then.
Okay.
And then we'll revisit it in the next pod just to see
if you have been cursed by the pie.
If I've got the pie curse.
Well, I ate a great pie on Sunday. Shout out the Cobb Bakery in Kyneton. Apparently award-winning pie makers. It was a great pie. The pies are back. I'm back on the pies. Pies are winning.
What about you, Tilly?
Pies. I don't want them to, but...
Yeah, even if they do win, they're not back. Suck on that, Braden. And on that note, we're going to end the pod. Don't know how frequent the pods are going to be, but we're going to try and do it as many times as we can. We know one thing for sure.
We're going to come back tomorrow.
One thing for sure, tips. The name of the pod is certainly not just the tip. Bye!
Tackle that sack.